And when we have called all provinces to other provinces, or the eighth, the seventh, yes, because there is one that is not going to come. You are the seventh province. And let me say the reason that we have said as the committee, let's call provinces for us to have an understanding of the state of health in the country. And we can't be able to do that, won't be able to do that if we don't then hear from provinces. Because the system is not allowing us to be on the ground as we would have loved. Because what we really like, Gina, is not to listen to you giving us all stories, but to go to a clinic or a hospital unannounced. One thing that I like, unfortunately, I've not been able to do that. But I do it at my own time as a public representative because I've got a right of being called by anybody who is a South African. I've got the right of going to any institution, whether it's a school, whether it's a police station. So this is another process of us conducting an oversight. When people call, we listen. If there's one thing that Free State knows, that I do call, welcome to the party, and as from the HOT, welcome to the party. In other provinces, I stopped calling MECs, not because of anything at times. They said, it's Wednesday today, maybe they are in Minmec, whether they're in EXCO, I call district. And when districts become cheeky, because some of them they do, because they don't know, I call switchboard, I said, may I put me through to the manager? And the manager say, hello, how are you? Hello, how can I help you? I said, but why don't you ask who I am first? Is it how you answer your phone in your ward? Ufunani ndonisisi. Remember, all these tricks, I've been in the sector. Ask me about this sector any hour of the day. And the decision that we took is that there are times for us to be engaged one another in a more technical, academic, high-powered English interaction. But there are times that we must really talk to what is affecting our people. Waiting times for ambulance, waiting times in the clinic, stockouts, we are a country per media of drug stockouts. Why are you shaking your head? But we know that at times we feel that people are unfair, at times, and I take the blame, I'm always I choose of being defensive of either the Department of Health or provinces, but when I really feel that no, media people are unfair, if somebody called me and said, nah, don't call me about it hearsay because I have spoken to this person in this province and this is not what I am. So, but today is because we really want to have that understanding. We send you an invitation, MEC and HOT, and we outlined what is it that we want to be presented. We are going to be hard where we think we are to be hard. When you are weak, we will reflect that you are weak. When you are not here because we want to judge you, we are here because we want to support. And us rendering a support is that we will then have to go to the National Department of Health and said, but this is what has transpired, what is your understanding? But with the understanding that services, as outlined, because health sector is a concurrent partnership, concurrent okay, I'm tired. And as outlined by the Constitution, but also by the National Health Act, everything is to be done, must be done at a provincial level. And therefore, the support that we give to provinces is a support in being engaged in this process. So we hope your presentation is going to assist us to have an understanding. What then we'll do for those who are coming for the first time in front of the committee, phones are to be on silent. Pictures are taken by those people that are designated to take pictures. You'll hear when they introduce themselves. Those are the only people that are supposed to take pictures when the committee is in session. We are going to introduce one another. We are going to use a mic, your name and your surname, where you are coming from, the type of work that you are doing. I'm going to start, I'm Lindelwa Dunjwa. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Health. Next to me is Vuyokazi, who is the secretary of the committee. On my extreme right is Lindokuhle, our content advisor. Next to him is Moses. Here is Moses, who is our researcher. The lady who's going to be moderating the document if she comes, she's just going to join us, is Mbali, who is the committee assistant. I will hand over to members to introduce themselves. After that, it will be your team, MEC. How you do the introduction depends on you. Then after that, it will be guests, anybody that has joined us. But what is important is that please use your mic and you tell us who you are. Thank you.
Dimela Kaufi. Kendati Maisela, Waha Maisela. Kiloloko la committee ya Zabupiro mo parlamente. Kialo.
Mwadini, sanbon, ikamalam di Umbulelo Nkonzo, a member of this committee. Thank you.
Nadumela Nkaufela, Dr. Susan Tembekwayo, member of the Committee on Health. Thank you.
Good afternoon all. My name is Lindy Wilson. I'm a member of this portfolio.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My name is Monseng Tsiu. I come from the Free State. I'm the MEC Health in the Free State. Honorable Chair, I request that the HOD does the introduction for them.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. My name is Dr. David Mutau. I'm the head responsible for health in the province. I'm going to introduce my team. Chair, as you have said, we are quite a big contingent. I'll start with the gentleman seated next to me. His name is Mr. Mulifi Mutsiye. He's the Chief Financial Officer in the department. Next to him is Mr. Basi Cornelius Polelo. He's the DDG Clinical Health Services and NHI. I have next to him the lady there. Her name is Grace Mutipani London. She's the Chief Director responsible for District Health Services. Next to Her is Mayor Makwadi Ramaro. She's the district manager for Mangaung Metro. So those that are behind me, Chair, if you allow, I will just call their names and they will raise their hands. The next one is Mr. Lucky Kamlani. He's the chief director responsible for HRM and planning. We also have another lady, Meneli Siwepisani. She's the chief director, SCM and asset management. We have Mr. Jan Fenta. He's the acting chief director, infrastructure for health. We have Mr. Bagang Oliphant. He's the director for strategic planning and monitoring. We have another lady, Mayor Baesi Ramujula. She's the CEO for Pilonomi Tertiary Hospital. We have another lady, Mayor Noche. She's the CEO for Bongani Hospital. We have Dr. Tejani, who is the CEO of Albert Nzula District Hospital. We have Metu Mimulongwana. She's the CEO of Medical Depot. We have Mr. Papi Maharuhani. He's the district manager for Thabong Futanyane District. We have Mr. Mondi Mvambi. He's the director of communication and spokesperson for the department. We have Mr. Ruben Reiter. He's the provincial manager for responsible for EMS. We have Mr. Bandile Ndombela. He's our director, ICT. We have Mr. Joe Mukhatle. He's the deputy director, environmental health. We have Mr. Justice Finger. He's the acting director, legal services. We have Melin Ding Kopani. She's the parliamentary liaison officer. And lastly, we have Mr. Khano Manong, who is working in my office as a support staff. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Doc. Can the department and guests that are around outside, those that are coming from the province, also introduce themselves?
Good afternoon. I'm Tamar Khan from Business Day.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I'm Christine Engelbrecht, National Department of Health Infrastructure.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Dr. Tandrayan. I'm from the South African Medical Association.
Hi, afternoon. I'm Kellen Chauke. I'm a freelance journalist.
Folga Isop, journalist from the SAS Student.
I couldn't hear you say you're a journalist from? Couldn't pick that up.
Netwerk 24.
Is it an African newspaper?
Yes. Good afternoon. I'm Smetan Bajaravula, ANC Parliamentary Caucus, Media and Communications Unit.
Good afternoon, Meena Ashkiva, PNG.
Good afternoon, Chairperson. My name is Thabang Mulusi. I'm from the office of the Chairperson of the NCOP, Netandi Modise. Thank you very much.
Kalemako from the Office of the Chair and the COP.
Oh, thank you. I was never alerted. I saw you coming in. I thought you were coming with another cap. Which I'm not going to mention because I don't want them to feel threatened. But thank you very much. You're welcome. We're happy that you are joined by the NCOP. But remember that at the end, in the final analysis, that is the house. If the Nitanda was the HOD, but not the Kashimini invite, and they are accountable for the NCOP, but we appreciate it. Thank you very much. It's a pity that you come to us, but it's fine. You'll be here even when KZN is here. You're going to join us all, okay? how you are going to deliver your briefing. Oh, sorry, Kalagas.
Mulani, the Kalagas Kasam from your office, got Deputy Minister.
Okay, I think we're done. How we're going to deliver the presentation depends on you, between yourself and the HOD. We're not going to be prescriptive. We are then handing over to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We have prepared the presentation according to the briefing that we received from your office, and I will then hand over to the HOD to give the presentation.
Thank you very much, MEC, through you, Honorable Chair and members. I'm going to do a presentation for the Free State Department of Health, and I must also indicate that we're coming to do this presentation to the Portfolio Committee at a time when health is said to be under a tremendous amount of strain, and Free State is not spared in that statement. We were given a brief to cover the, I think it's about 21 areas that we are supposed to cover. The first one is access to health care, quality care, medical equipment, management of pharmaceuticals, medicine availability, maintenance services, human resources, emergency services, and patient transport, governance and leadership, financial systems, referral systems, risk management, laundry services, security services, information technology, management of healthcare waste, planning and maintenance of infrastructure, TB management, state of district health system in strengthening the primary health care, progress towards the absorption of community health care workers, and we are also requested to look at how the province has benchmarked and how are we implementing the Operation Sukumasak. We've written there, Chair, if you allow me, that progress on Operation Back to Care, but I'm sure we will be able to give details as to what is it that we mean by that. Our presentation, as I said, will be then covering those stipulated components of healthcare service delivery as expected from the Free State Department of Health. The department utilized district health system based on primary healthcare principles. The provincial office, which is corporate office, and the four district health offices plus one metro within the district of within district municipal boundaries provide healthcare support in widely distributed and appropriate health facilities with the support of an effective referral system. Free State is mainly rural with a population of approximately 2.7 million people and the uninsured population of approximately 2.2 million, which is about 82%, that are accessing public health care services. The primary health care services are rendered through a different setting within the communities, e.g. households and schools, as well as 214 clinics and 10 community health centers. Community health outreach services are also rendered through school health services and mobile clinics in remote and rural areas. Hospital services are provided through 25 district hospitals, 4 regional hospitals, 1 psychiatric, a specialized psychiatric hospital, 1 tertiary hospital, and 1 central hospital, which are spread throughout the province. Emergency medical services is crucial in ensuring consistent accessibility of the different levels of healthcare through the referral system. The EMS stations are located in different towns throughout the province. Comprehensive priority health programs are rendered across all levels of healthcare systems, and they include HIV and AIDS, maternal, TB, child and women's health, including communicable and non-communicable diseases, focusing on health promotion, disease prevention, screening, and treatment. If we go on, Chair, and look at access to healthcare, the next slide is demonstrating as to how we've managed to reduce the numbers that are coming through to our primary healthcare facilities by implementing or strengthening our household outreach and the CCMDD program, as well as the adherence labs. You will see on the slide there that over the years from 2013, we have been able to reduce the numbers that are coming through our facilities, and this has actually sort of assisted us in terms of the waiting times that the Honourable Chair had referred to earlier. The next slide is going to look at the access and utilization of hospital services, where we are showing on the left the OPD headcount per capita, and then on the right we are now talking about the proportion of OPD not referred. The challenge in as far as this slide is concerned, you've noticed, Chair, that Mangaung is always out there. You know, when you open the slide, the first thing that you want to ask is the issue around Mangaung. And if you remove Mangaung out of the picture, you are able to then see that there's a proper sort of alignment in terms of other districts. The next slide is access and utilization of inpatient hospital services, where we are demonstrating that the bed utilization rate has been sort of low in some areas, but there are those hospitals where you would find that they are just out there. For instance, on the left hand side, you'd realize that if you look at Pelonomi, in 2014, the bed utilization rate was very high. But then it sort of went down, as we are reporting now, during the third quarter of 17-18. The next slide is average length of stay, and the same hospital and others are reflecting the same challenges that we had in the past, or that we have. Access and utilization of inpatient hospital services. Here we're talking about inpatient separation, where, again, if you look at the slide, you'd realize that there's still a challenge in as far as the Mangaung Metropolitan is concerned, where Universitas and Pelonomi are there. Now, if you remove that, you then realize that as a free state, that black dotted line then gives you a picture of how aligned we are. The next slide on access of antenatal care under 20 weeks. You'd see that the even here, I think the province is doing fairly well. The only outlier here is Harib District, and as a calculation, of course, the rate, you'd find that the number of patients in Harib would be very small. Harib is a small district in the Free State, in the south of Free State, Chair. If we go and look at the quality of health care, and perhaps one must just perhaps pause and indicate that. Recently we've had a visit by the Office of Health Standards and Compliance in the province, and the results, I must say, were not very good. And we are aware of the areas where the challenges are, and we really are working on that. So the following slides will then indicate or demonstrate areas of challenges where facilities are not doing well. But I must also say, Chair, that we do have those facilities that are doing very, very well in as far as the office is looking for in terms of standards. The next slide will show you then that most of the facilities here have performed below 80, which in our own view, they performed badly. But you have facilities, small facilities, that are lying in areas of around 50, in the name of Putulua as well as Nala. Those are the areas that we have begun to zoom into, because these are small facilities that are out there that you know, we need to really concentrate on. Now, we did not have any assessment conducted in Pumelela District Hospital due to the staff shortages. So that's why you don't see the capturing challenges on DHIS in Tekolong, Ketuana, and Tebe. As well as Dukulo, were also identified, and we are dealing with that, Chair. The next slide is on performance on national core standard level 2 and 3 hospitals, where you see that Universitas has actually performed fairly well at 86%, but the rest of the hospitals did not do well in terms of what the standard is and where we would want to be. To be. And this, I must also say, Chair, these were self-assessments that were done by ourselves. Now, if you go to the next slide and look at the core standard and IDIS link summary, this summarizes what I was talking about, where in terms of the districts, you realize that Mangaung, out of six hospitals, there's only one hospital that attained more than 80%. And this is a concern to us, and we've actually begun the process of developing the quality improvement plans. In Fazlie Darby, out of five hospitals, there's only one. So overall total is that out of 32 hospitals, only four were able to perform above 80%. To us, Chair, this is a worry. But then later on, we'll explain some of the challenges that we find ourselves in as we go forward. The specialized hospitals, which is Universitas amongst others, was the only one that performed well above 80%, as I've said. Regional hospitals, none of them got above 80%. The district hospitals were also not impressive in as far as that is concerned. So all what it says to us, Chair, is that this data we do have, and we need to make sure that we go back and we deal with these issues. And this is a process that we continuously are doing to make sure that our facilities are meeting the standards. The next slide on ideal clinic overall performance during the 17-18 financial year. If you look at the baseline here, Chair, you'd realize that of the new number of facilities that we have, we've improved slightly in terms of the number, and we'll allude to those challenges as well. But if you look at those that have attained silver, you'd realize that there was a market improvement, and we actually are happy about that because we are really moving somewhere. But if you look at gold achievement by those facilities, there is an improvement, but it's not where we want it to be. Ideally, we would want to say when we enroll clinics to be ideal, then all those clinics must be ideal. But of course, there are a number of challenges that we'll talk to at a later stage. And those that have not achieved, you would see, Chair, that this line depicts those that initially had not achieved, but then now we are seeing that downward trend, which shows that most of them are, actually there are some that are achieving. So it means we are going somewhere. We need to make sure that we strengthen this process. The next slide is on national core standard on patient safety, clinical governance, and clinical care. I put that as a red, Chair, because I wanted us to appreciate the fact that there is a challenge there. This is a challenge that we've talked to earlier on of these small hospitals, your Itemoheng, JD, Newberry, Putuluha, Tebe, and Pumelele. So I said to my team, we need to, once we get these results, we need to then make sure that we focus on these facilities that are not doing well. It's facilities that are lying out there, far from Bloemfontein. But surely they are still our facilities, and we have to make sure that the patients in those areas or people in those areas receive the quality care that they deserve. In as far as medical equipment is concerned, Chair and Honourable Members, the assessment of the condition of medical equipment was performed, as well as the new needs of the department. So an analysis was done to that effect. The acquisition plan was developed, and a bid for various medical equipment was concluded in 2016. The contract was awarded. That contract included the maintenance plan for a period of 5 years. The department also participated in the transversal contract, the RC2, which also includes maintenance plan. Our maintenance contracts have been arranged for medical equipment which were procured without any maintenance agreement. I said to the team, there is no way, Chair, that we will have equipment that we will not have any maintenance contract, because if that equipment breaks, we will not have requisite skill to can deal with that. So we did finally deal with that. The plan for bids to be advertised in 2018-19 only for specialized medical equipment contracts will be concluded. as soon as possible. The asset acquisition plans and maintenance plans for 2018-19 have been approved. Implementation is monitored by all institutions to ensure timeous placing of orders and delivery. As far as obsolete equipment is concerned, there is a process, Chair, that we follow to make sure that we dispose of that equipment, and that process is as follows: that the redundant and obsolete equipment is identified during the physical asset verification. Such equipment is collected, put in a central point in preparation for the disposal. Now, the disposal of such equipment takes place in line with the disposal plan every financial year. In 15-16 and 15-17, 9 disposals that include medical equipment were held. The focus on current financial year is to dispose obsolete equipment identified at clinic. The disposal process will be finalized in October this year. In as far as management of pharmaceuticals is concerned, Chair, this is one other area which has always been out there. And again, Free State was never spared in as far as this is concerned. So I thought perhaps it would be better to start with the findings in as far as the MedPass is concerned, that the Auditor General expressed a qualification opinion on accounts payables due to differences between supplier statements and accounting records on a trading account. The compliance paragraph, the trading account did not pay all obligations with the regulated 30-day period. The trading account did not collect all money due to the regulated 30-day period. Now, later on, Chair, we will appreciate as to why this has happened. But I must also indicate that we have worked on it, and I'm sure you will see later on as to what is it that we have done to address these challenges. The management of pharmaceuticals continued. Pharmaceuticals are procured, warehoused, and distributed from Medical Depot, which is licensed with the National Department of Health and the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority, previously called the Medicine Control Council, until 2021. At hospital level, pharmaceuticals are managed through the RX solution. Currently, MedSat is used for inventory management at the Medical Depot. MedSat is a system, Chair, that we use. MedSat is due to be replaced by G-Commerce Warehouse Management System, which we are hoping that will bring opportunities for us to be able to effectively provide this pharmaceutical to our people. The Provincial Pharmaceutical Therapeutics Committee is fully functional with subcommittees for antimicrobial stewardship and medical consumables. Health facilities are allocated budget, which they procure own medicines from the depot. The procurement process in as far as the CCMDD, which I alluded to earlier, Chair, is as follows. We have patients that are enrolled in all 5 districts. Number of facilities with active CCMDD registrations are sitting at 133. The number of external pickup points registered is 116. Number of adherence labs registered is 1,425. Number of patients registered are 99,000. The target is about 132,000. Active patients are about 92,000 as we speak. Number of items other than the fixed dose combination on CCMD 61. The fixed dose combination is currently on hold at 35,000 units. Now, the challenges that we've experienced, and I'm hopping on this, Chair, because my first slide, you'd remember, that's when I was trying to demonstrate in terms of access as to how this has assisted the department to actually decant our facilities. The challenges, however, are the external pickup point contracts that were signed late. Patients sometimes lose interest, and you also have problems of scripts that get rejected, and change to new service provider affected new enrollment. So the SLA signed with Right ePharmacy, funded by Global Fund, for setup costs for the PDU site. The sites will be Heidedal, Mangaung, Metro identified, and work on site has started, and will commence with everything July 18, 2018. And this is also going to focus on down referral, where patients would have been in pilonomy, for instance, or universitas. When they get discharged, they will then get their treatment at this pick-up point. Now, if we look at the 15-16 Auditor General performance on pharmaceuticals, progress that we've made in as far as that is concerned is that we revised funding through increased capital augmentation from 2 million to 40 million. This was a strategic decision that we took as a department that we need to fund the depot more. We improved the turnaround time for payments of claims to improve cash flow. HR issues that were there was that we had a lot of vacant posts. Now we've managed to fill posts. 4 pharmacists were appointed, 2 HR officers, 3 security officers, 2 cleaners, 1 admin clerk, 3 accounting clerks, and 5 supply chain clerks were appointed. Currently, we have 6 basic and 6 post-basic learners funded through Ketimpilo, AWC funding in training at the depot. There was a treasury department or depot department treasury task team that was dealing with the issue of absorbing the medical depot into the department because it has now become too expensive to have an entity or to have a medical depot that is operating as an entity. But all the other challenges that I've alluded to earlier on are also there because of, we believe they are there because of this marriage that, you know, we are not staying together. So we need to make sure that we bring this medical depot into the department. So what we've done is the task team was looking into the process of doing that, and we have since presented this at EXCO, and it was then put on hold. The medical depot is licensed and registered with MMC and National Department of Health and SAPC. Licenses will expire, as I said, in 2021. Progress on Auditor General's findings was that there hasn't been a lot of progress on acquisition of IT infrastructure and equipment for RX solution. This is a challenge, actually. It's not progress. The implementation of the SVS, Stock Visibility System, in 94% of our PAC facilities has been done. No progress on appointment of pharmaceutical support personnel, but we are using the community service pharmacists to support the PAC services and roads between facilities. There's marked improvement in availability of medicine, as also noted by the NCOP during their oversight visit to the province in Mangaung during the week of the 21st to the 25th of August 2017. However, the infrastructure is still a challenge, and we also have serious challenges with security. And the progress will then on this CMDD will also be presented later. Here, these are the details as to the and this was also a finding from the Office of Health Standards and Compliance in some of our facilities. Now we thought we needed to give a glimpse of how, you know, this pharmaceutical or services is run, where we are saying we have pharmaceutical and therapeutics committee that are existent, active and functional, and meetings are held quarterly. Guidelines have been established. Functioning of pharmaceutical therapeutics committee in the Free State is circulated in October 2016. Meetings between Free State Medical Depot and the PPTC Secretariat to address implementation of PPTC decision at procurement level. Now, here, Chair, I'm just trying to demonstrate that indeed these things are happening. However, the challenge would be that at district level, that's where we would actually experience challenges, where either because of lack of staff or because of the inept attitude of some of our staff, these things will not happen, hence the findings. And the findings would then, as per the Office of Health Standards and Compliance, would then be translated to non-availability of medicine. But we will show later that indeed we do have medicine. I'm going to skip this slide, Chair, and then go to the medicine availability. where we are demonstrating that if you look at pharmaceuticals, we are sitting at 66%. This is now at the medical table, as at the 31st of May 2018. In terms of tracer drugs, we are sitting at 62%, ARV 65%, TB medicine 75%, vaccines 69%, contraceptives 56%, mental health 71%, medicine consumables 70%. Now, Chair, here we actually said there's no point in us having medicines at a certain level at the medical table when we don't have medicines at facilities. So you realize that as I go on with my presentation, this that you are seeing, which have colored it in red, is not really what is happening in facilities. So if you go to the next slide on medicine availability, PHC per district, as at the 31st of May 2018, you'll see that, for instance, if we take Harib clinics, ARVs are sitting at 97%, TB medicine at 97%, vaccines at 99%, tracer drugs at 95%, 96% of all medicines, and medical consumables are sitting at 95%. Now, if you look at the total performance of the province here, we are not doing bad. And this is figures that, or percentages that we get as a result of some of the systems that we are using that the Office of Health Standard is not necessarily using, like your SVS system. The next one is medicine availability at level one hospitals per district. And even there, although, you know, our target is to have about 95% and above, but the situation is not as bad as it is purported to be. The next one is medicine availability at the level of level two and three hospitals around the same period. And even there, Chair, I'm sure we can see that we are not doing badly at all. When we go to human resources, Chair, as per the brief, we have a total staff establishment in the province of 21,617. Now, it's only 17,151 of posts that have been filled. As at 17-18, we managed to fill about 1,787. And the vacant post, of course, would then be around 4,466. But this vacant post, most of them are frozen because there's no funding for them. The vacancy rate is sitting at 20.6%. Now, here's an interesting phenomenon. In 2017-18, the same period under review, we had 1,744 people leaving the system due to retirement, attrition, and resignation. Now, if you look at the difference there, effectively, all what it means is we did not really do anything. We just crashed the surface. So this is a phenomenon that we're looking into, because if we have to go deeper, it will then show us as to which areas are we having problems at. So if you go to the next slide, Chair, looking at the tertiary hospital, what you see, and this is Pilonomi, the staff establishment is around 1,558. The challenge here is that we are unable to recruit and retain this specialist due to processes that have become such an impediment for us, and it's compromising service delivery. And you would see that we are also saying on bullet two that submissions need to be approved by Treasury, and the process may take sometimes 2 to 6 months. And this is causing a lot of problems for us. And as you know, posts not filled within 6 months, as per the DPSA guidelines, those posts will be abolished. Sometimes we have registrars that leave the province after completion. We try to give them incentives such as rural allowance and free accommodation, but they would not stay because it takes us too long to appoint this guest field, and hence they will go to other provinces where they will be appointed. At Universitas, which is the next slide, Chair, And university, as I must say, is our major training platform, which we, since we came in, we've made it a point that we work on appointments where I would work with submissions to make sure that those submissions are signed and approved by relevant people for me to be able to appoint for this hospital, because the risk was we were going to lose accreditation by the Health Professionals Council. We have a relationship with them where we signed an MOU, and as a result of that, we have joined appointees. Attritions are attributed mainly to due to retirements at universities due to aging staff. Most of them are professors who are very old who would want to go on retirement. But if you look at four regional hospitals that we have, the total staff establishment is sitting at 2,075. Here again, there's a challenge of recruiting the specialists. But over and above, even when we would have headhunted, it will take those processes again to appoint. And I must also mention one thing here, Chair, that with the regional hospitals, we came from a terrible past where we, two of our regional hospitals were not allowed to train interns. And we've had to work hard to make sure that we retain, or rather we bring back that accreditation status of making sure that they train interns. But now if we're going to continue this way, we will lose that accreditation, and we will not be able to train interns. And we all know that currently in the country, the challenge is those interns that are really crying out loud to say they are not being appointed. In as far as the psychiatric hospital is concerned, we have a total staff establishment of 730. And the key positions, of course, are psychologists, psychiatrists, and nurses. We are about to insource the kitchen staff. I think that will happen by the end of July 2018, the entire kitchen staff there. The hospital also serves as an academic training platform together with the University of the Free State. District Hospital, Chair, we have a staff establishment of 3,444. But I must say, Chair, the challenges in this hospital of recruitment and appointment is the major challenge that I wanted to highlight here, despite the fact that some of our district hospitals are out there in the rural areas, but we do have a rural allowance that we give them. The department is revising the HR plan for 18-19 and 2021, or to 2021. Various policies are underway, under review, recruitment and selection, retention of staff to address high turnover and inability to recruit and retain staff. Organizational development has commenced with the restructuring of the staff establishment. Despite delays in filling of posts due to further centralization of approvals to Treasury, that is called Instruction Note 48, we are proceeding with filling of vacant and funded posts in terms of the agency and the priority on critical list. Now, this is what I said earlier on when I said at some point I become a messenger to make sure that we deal with these issues. Wisen report is utilized to meet the staffing needs in facilities to meet staff ratios. All facilities have approved staffing plans, Chen. Now, in terms of HRD and performance management, this is managed as in terms of the PDMS policy. Payments on pay progression for the following financial year was completed. And again, this is coming a long way, Chair. When we came into this department, there was a time when we could not even pay this PDMSs. But we've managed to do that, and currently we are left with the 16-17 financial year, which is going to be done in September. Recognition of improved qualification has been implemented since 2013. Of course, management of overtime work is also done in terms of the fact that we've said no overtime is going to be approved without prior, or rather, nobody is going to work overtime before it is approved. So we've made it a point that we reduce the expenditure on overtime. I think it was 300 million at the time, and we've managed to reduce it quite dramatically, Chair. In as far as the insourcing services, I thought this is also interesting to look at, Chair. Facilities that we've managed to insource is your Bongani, where we've insourced security and catering. Triple M, which is Mufumaji Manapo Mupedi, we've insourced security. We are left with catering. The Free State Psychiatric Complex, we are in the process of finalizing the insourcing of catering. On governance and leadership, Chair, this is another slide, and we thought let's give Chair and members a glimpse of what is happening in as far as the management performance and assessment tools as it has been coming over the years. Here we are appreciating an improvement in as far as the performance of the department, and there are still challenges, but we are working on those challenges. This is in terms of leadership and governance around your national core standard performance, where again the same hospitals are found to be performing poorly. But as I said, these are hospitals that we've decided to zoom into and make sure that we strengthen them and support them. The governance structures that we have in the province, Chair, is the District Health Council. There's one. Hospital boards are there, 15 of them. Mental Health Review Board is also there. Clinical committees, we have about 176. I must say that it has been difficult to recruit and retain this the clinic committee, because they were not getting anything. But we've taken a decision that we're going to give them a stipend of some sort for them to be able to assist us. Now, if we come into the financial systems, Chair, because we are required to present on this as well, we decided to start with this slide because we believe that if all the other four areas around this central circuit are addressed, we will have financial systems that are adequate enough to can actually assist us in maximizing on the rent that we get for the department, for the people to get service delivered. So we're talking here about HR capacitation and the structure. If that is there, we will have good working financial systems. The capability, of course, there will be some constraints, but if they are dealt with, we will be able to have good financial systems. But also added to that, the training part of it, we should also make sure that when we appoint, we do train this official. It's also an important element there. The policies and procedures and delegations. These are more often than not one area that is always putting us in a lot of trouble. We've realized at some point that we have so many old policies that we need to actually look at and review. So we are busy with that process. But I'll limit myself to the financial systems. Insofar as ensuring alignment in patient administration, we have the following systems to address patient information and revenue collection. We have a source system that is called which provides patient information, clinical information, and billing of patients. And it integrates with the systems like NHLS for blood results, EDI for vetting of patients who are eligible for payment. We also have PETS system, which is an in-house developed system. We'll talk about PETS a little later. It's used for admission and billing of patients. These systems are, however, it's a provincial Department of Health specific system. If you look at the HR capacity and structure, on human resources, Chair, all institutions in district offices, including clinics, have access to financial systems. The department requires a full complement of administrative personnel in order to effectively administer daily activities. Now, officials that are operating the systems are trained by provincial treasury prior to commencement of their duties and regularly as required. So in as far as that is concerned, we've ticked that box. Complexing, we have a scenario in the province where we've complexed or created hubs. This, to us, has helped us to address capacity constraints, where we've decided that if you have a district office, you capacitate that district office, and that district office is expected to support the clinics in terms of management of the systems. So we've done that, and it's something that we need to strengthen because it has proven to be giving us results. The financial systems ensuring ICT capability. The challenges that we have is that the reliability and credibility on the PET system still is still not adequate. Since systems, it once crashed, and we battled to get it to get a recovery due to the lack of support. Maybe if I have to quickly elaborate on this. This system was developed in-house. It was developed by somebody who was working for the Department of Health in the Free State. And at a time when I suspect he had created demand, he then resigned and he went and worked for another company. So this is a system that he himself only knew, and that was the problem in terms of. So every time we have to go back to him and beg him to come back and assist us. But we are getting rid of that system. Validation control impacted by both ineffective system and lack of personnel capacity and supervision. Budget controls on procurement of pharmaceuticals still not effectively done. Pharmaceuticals availability across the various pharmacies and the depot difficult to determine and manage from centrally. Currently, most of the activities, amongst others, data compilation and patient billing still rely on manually or on one personnel. There's the lack of case managers due to budget constraints exacerbating the problem. And this, Chair, I'm sure Chair is aware that the Office of Health Standards and Compliance also raised this matter, but we are addressing that. In as far as further challenges are concerned, we have CETA that is providing the infrastructure network for the department. Currently, the department is experiencing the wide area and network bandwidth problems. CETA has been requested to assist with the procurement of an integrated patient system and the pharmaceutical bus integration for purpose of commitment and payment of Department of Health to Central Trading Medical Depot. And I said here in red, in both cases, the progress is very, very slow. In fact, I think it's an understatement to say the progress is slow. It's not happening at all. So there is that bottleneck in as far as CETA is concerned. And perhaps this committee at some point will assist us, not only us, but everybody in the department, in Department of Health, to actually work on this CETA problem. The financials, the delegated powers of authority to CEOs are as follows. On procurement, Chair, we have a petty cash of about up to 2,000 that can be utilized for small things at facility level. On quotations, up to 500,000 for things like repairs to equipment, strip and coat, emergency or urgent procurement, and sole supplier. We've actually limited that to 200,000 to all other facilities, but in terms of central and tertiary institutions, it's limited to 500,000. So this CEOs can actually have been empowered to deal with this, the small issues. Deviations from all supply chain process is not delegated, because these are some of the areas that are putting us into trouble. Payment of to suppliers, in case of orders issued, there's no limit. Because the CFO was saying to me the other day that we are not going to allow anybody to work without an order. So at least we are sort of managing that one. So if there's an order and that order was issued, we are happy to have them pay. In case of payments on sundry, it's not delegated. And CFO was saying, no, here we are just trying to be modest, because effectively we know that. For sundry payments, people come up with all sorts of stories. In fact, I'm sure the committee has heard about payments outside the system. This is where this whole thing comes from. So for us to be able to avoid that, we said that is not delegated. Appointment of personnel, unfortunately, is still sanctioned by Treasury, provincial Treasury. The budgeting process, Chair, here we just wanted to demonstrate to you as to what are the processes that we follow. The department develops on an annual basis the budgeting guidelines in line with the Treasury guidelines. There is a budgeting and finance committee which oversees budgeting. The allocation are done at cluster level to further allocation by facilities. Budget is then consolidated. Ideally, it's supposed to be the other way around, where it's a bottom-up kind of approach, but unfortunately, because of constraints of time in most cases, in fact, 99 times out of out of 100, we find ourselves having to do this to sort of push it down to them instead of getting their needs properly, and then we then consolidate our budget. But it's something that we have to work on. And this is what we are reflecting as a challenge, that there's a lack of effective consultation within the department with stakeholders due to time pressures. This slide here, Chair, there's just one thing that I wanted to demonstrate, that at some point Treasury has instructed us to reduce our compensation by 0.05%. Now, if you look at the red line, this talks to 18-19 financial year, where our budget is sitting at 10.4 billion. Now, if you look at that from, let's say, 2012-2013, you'd realize that our ratio on compensation of employees to goods and services has been rising. And we are sitting at around 65%. And we are predicting that over the MTEF, we're going to be sitting at around 67%. Now, if you look at that, the effect that this due to our budget is that it's crowding out the goods and service. And this is what we have captured there in the narration. And now, goods and service in 2017-18 is constituting 24% of the budget, from 27% in 2014-15, 15-16, at 26% in 2016-17. This is, however, creating increasing problem of accruals and payables. When we close the year now, our accruals and payables, or rather accruals now, we're sitting at 577 million. And we had come from a situation where we had brought our accruals down from over a billion to about 300 million. And now that phenomenon is coming back again as a result of what is happening here. It also affects the fact that we have to pay our suppliers within 30 days. And one day we are going to be in trouble for not doing that. Now, the affected suppliers include your pharmaceutical feed services, and it also hampers the progress on ideal clinic program realization. The increase in medicine prices between 15-16 and 16-17 averaged 22.05% weighted for price and volume, and was way above inflation change. The impact of 1% of VAT increase was also not factored when these budgets were concluded. I just thought I needed to highlight this slide. Now, the department has been working very hard, Chair, to make sure that the service delivery it's done, but also in terms of governance and leadership, we try and work hard. And this is demonstrated by the fact that after, I think, 8 years, 13 years, after 13 years, we were able to get an unqualified audit opinion from the Auditor General, despite the challenges that we had. I'm just going to leave that slide. But the challenges that we still have is the fact that we have an irregular expenditure which is coming from prior years, from 2009, which at some point I think is going to be reflected elsewhere, that the Free State Department of Health has that. I think we need to put context into this matter, in that if you look at our irregular expenditure now, that has been dramatically reduced. So we are doing well in as far as that is concerned, but we still need to deal with this irregular expenditure coming back from 2009 up to this far. And we've done well in that up to so far, more than 1 billion has been finalized, although not yet condoned. So there's a lot of work that is happening in the department. The emergency service and patient transport. Here, Chair, I wanted to quickly show the Chair and members that if you look at the Free State and how vastly it is, vastly sparse it is, you'd realize that there's only one center of referral that we refer to, which is Bloemfontein. Now, everybody else that is coming from elsewhere in the Free State who needs specialized treatment will have to come this way to the Free State. Now, if there's somebody in Meme that needs to go to investors, they'll have to travel all the way to that area. And this has impacted negatively on our health outcomes. It has impacted negatively on the, you know, the perception about the Free State and the our EMS services. But we will explain that, Chair. If you look at, here I was just demonstrating the distances that our fleet has to travel or patients have to travel to investors, Binonomi, taking from all districts, regional hospitals and all that. But because we have a plan, Chair, on how we need to deal with this, we have incrementally trained. At a time when we were still using this, we took advantage of the fact that the private facility was assisting us. So we've trained a lot of our EMS personnel to a level where we need them to be in as far as the regulations are concerned, the new regulations that are coming. We've also incrementally, although slow, due to constraint of resources, we have not been able to buy ambulances at the rate that we want to buy them. But I must indicate that we will be adding 15 more ambulances. Now, if you look at the norm chain of a population of 2.7 million, it means effectively as a norm of one ambulance per 10,000 population, you need about 274 ambulances. In the Free State currently, we have only 132 ambulances. So the shortfall is sitting at around 144 ambulances. Now, this are we've managed to get an approval, and in the same way of walking these submissions across, we've managed to get an approval, and these are the officials that we'll be appointing at different districts, and this will assist us in terms of you know, making sure that we capacitate this this service. I thought we needed to also touch on the aeromedical services. These are the graph that depicts as to how the service is utilized from January to May. Now, maybe somebody will want to know as to why April we had a spike. This is at a time when, you know, it's festive or holiday time and we have a lot of accidents. And needless to say, Free State, unfortunately, is finding itself where the N1, the N3, and
N5.
And all those major routes are passing through Free State. So the burden of accidents is real. We have total of 60 hours available to be used for flying with the patient or specialist. Now, unused flying hours are carried over to the next month. Aeromedical services is used for ICU transfers, major accidents, and we also at some point use it for outreach programs. Aeromedical services is operating 24 hours within the province. The narrative that I spoke to earlier on, maybe just to quickly demonstrate that we've managed to train 156 officials on rescue training. We've managed to train 82 officials on firefighting training. We've managed to train 136 officials on intermediate life support training. We've also managed to train advanced life support, 45 of them. We've trained emergency medical dispatch training, 102 of them. We've also managed to, in terms of CPD training, 460 officials, VLS retraining of 380 officials, driver training of 138 officials. This, Chair, could not have possibly happened. Yes, it would have happened, but not to the extent to which it has happened, in that we were able to leverage on the free time that we sort of had to be able to train this official. The next slide is on the referral system. Chair, here I'm trying to demonstrate to Chair the challenges and members, of course, the challenges that we have, which talks, of course, to the previous slide on referral. But I'll go to the next slide to just show you the state of affairs in the province if we are serious about making sure that we make an impact in as far as the burden of disease is concerned. If you look at the green, which is a famous color of when you are doing well, you'd realize that Universitas Hospital and Binonomi Hospitals are mostly green. These are, if you look at the top row, you then
appreciate the fact that in terms of certain specialties and functions, some of these hospitals that are lower down here do not have these functions, and therefore we are forced to make sure that we refer to these hospitals that are up here. So it is just to demonstrate that we have that kind of a problem. But in as far as maternal mortality is concerned, what we've done is we've identified certain hospitals that have capacity to make sure that we accredit them as equivalent sexually accredited sites. So it's not everywhere in the province that you'd find a cesarean section being done. And that is something that the National Department has also uploaded. In as far as risk management is concerned, Chair, we have 10 strategic, top 10 strategic risks that we've identified for 17-18. Top on the list is the increase in medical legal cases. And of course, the rest are following. But I want to take a little bit of time and talk about the medical legal cases. Currently, the Free State province is exposed for about 1.9 billion. Now, if all these cases were to go to court and they were winnable, it would then mean that about the budget that I had reflected there would have to subtract 1.9 billion out of it. So that is the challenge that we're finding ourselves in. And of course, we are not budgeting anything, Chair, for litigation. However, we've developed a strategy as a department which seeks to make sure that we mitigate the risk and we deal with that risk effectively. In fact, maybe just to mention this one, Chair, because I think this is the right platform. We've discovered in one of our hospitals that, and this I have not told the MEC, and I have a reason why I have not told her. She was not around, but this is the discovery which I said is going to be between me and the CEO of that hospital. We've discovered that in one hospital, one big hospital in the province, our officials are actually going into where we store the files, and they start going through the files one by one. And some of the utterances that they are saying, they will say, no, this file has the potential of making a lot of money. No, this one, let's leave it. And then that's how they take these files. And then they sort of distribute them to the lawyers. And that's how we get sued. Because most of the time we get sued or we get litigated against and because we don't have this record. Now, if we have within our employment people that will then take these files and give them to lawyers, we need to clamp down on them and make sure that they get arrested. So we are working on that. MEC, my apologies. I was going to tell you about this. I just wanted to report it to the law enforcement agents. In as far as risk management is concerned, the structures are in place, Chair, in terms of the risk management unit, the Department Risk Management Committee, the risk management subcommittees, and this committees are meeting on a constant basis. There's also training and awareness that is done, and we also do annual risk assessments that will assist us to see where we are. And we also deal with the mitigation processes, as I've alluded earlier, in terms of your medical legal cases. And, of course, monitoring is also done in as far as that is concerned. This is another challenge that we have on laundry services. And even the Office of Health Standard Compliance did make a finding in as far as this is concerned. And we have all the processes in place. And I'll zoom into the challenges to say key challenges that we have is that we have aging equipment in our laundry, almost all of them. We have shortages of staff. Due to the problem of us not appointing timely and appointing people that are supposed to be working. And then we have also aging laundry staff. That is where now we would find that we are unable to produce the number of or the linen that the hospitals would have ordered. And this was picked up by the Office of Health Standards and Compliance. Poor implementation of linen management procedures in laundries and health facilities. Those are the challenges that we have in the main. In as far as security services is concerned, this chair is also a problem for us. But we've managed to install integrated security system at Pironomi, Bujumelo, and Norita and Sabati. And we are working hard to make sure that we install in all our areas. But security as a concept does not only talk to your security systems, it also talks to warm bodies that are supposed to be there and warm bodies that have tools of trade. Now, if we have we have shortages of this, then we have a serious problem. There was a time where we were also computers were donated to us by the National Department of Health, and they got stolen because we don't have enough security. But we are now going to be signing tomorrow the absorption of the 520 security learners that we've always had in our facility. So we'll then make sure that we distribute them accordingly. But they will still not be enough for us to deal with the challenges that we have. On information technology, I have an overview here, but I want to request that I concentrate on the second bullet, that the department has two directorates dedicated to priority three of the National Development Plan and the implementation of the e-health strategy. The Information Technology Support Directorate, as well as the Information Management Directorate. The IT competency is decentralized in operations and budgeting. However, strategy and governance is centrally located at head office. We have about 6,800 users of the IT system in the department, both in primary healthcare facilities and in hospitals. Now, all 32 hospitals have connectivity. The department is currently rolling a high-speed broadband to all facilities in partnership with state information agency, CETA. The National Health Information System, such as the patient registration system, which is HPRS, ETR.net, DHIS2, MomConnect, pharmaceutical systems, being the RX solution, MedSAS, and RVM, and other province-based health information systems are widely used in the department. The biggest challenge here remains that the integration of the system is not there, and that is where we are finding challenges. And in fact, this was also highlighted by the Auditor General when he made this finding that there's poor or lack of implementation of e-health strategy, there's old infrastructure, and we don't have connectivity, and the billing and revenue systems are not in order. And of course, the pharmaceutical systems are affected by this, and that is why we find ourselves in trouble. But I must also reemphasize the fact that the state information, the CETA, is also not assisting us. So we need to really beg for assistance for them. But we have good stories that we can tell, Chair. During the time when we got an unqualified audit, Thabong Futanyana got a clean audit, and that is the only district in the whole country that got a clean audit on predetermined objectives. This was because of the fact that most of our facilities had the HPRS system, and that was something that I thought I cannot go out of here without mentioning. We are piloting and adoption of the M Health System Stock Visibility System, MomConnect, and ATA Health is going on. So we also have a system called PEX, which is a picture archiving and communication system. Now this system is responsible for making sure that we archive our radiology, which is X-ray and MRI, ultrasound, as well as the cath lab images that we get from institutions. I alluded to the fact that earlier as a department, we then strategically decided we're going to give IT 28 million, and I must say they are using it to the benefit of the department. So this is just a depiction of the systems that we've been talking about, and it also links to the financial systems that we talked about, where we have patient health information system that is taken care of by PET and Meditech. We have pharmaceutical systems, that is RX Solution, RDM, and MedSat, and all these systems have to be fed into PAS manually. So you can already see, Chair, that there are serious problems there that we need to. So it's that system that we need has to happen now, not any time long. otherwise we will find ourselves in problems. We are also unable to actually adequately determine the amount of money that we are owed by medical aid as a result of this poor system or non-integrated system. The NHLS, which is a high cost driver in the department, is also we also have a problem because we are unable to determine as to whether what we pay them is indeed what they're supposed to get. So here is how the systems work, Chair. VAS, PESAL, Logis, Meditech, and PET. So the information is that with VAS, we do the payment and expenditure management. We do budget management, revenue management. PESAL is mainly for administering personal data and for purpose of compensation of employees. Logis is for procurement of goods and services and department asset register. It also has to interface with BAS. Meditech is a system that is deployed to investors, Pironomi, Bongani, and Bitume. So here we're trying to demonstrate that we have systems that are working in a manner that there's no coordination. So ideally, this is what we would want to have for the financial system to actually work well. The RX solution must fit into the RX solution PMPU. And where there has to be verification done, and that must feed into METSAS, and there must be an interfacing with PAS, and then of course it will feed into PAS. This is ideal for us, Chair. The next slides are really talking to what I've been talking to, so if Chair agrees, I will just go through them quickly and skip them. I wanted to then come to this item on healthcare risk waste management, and also indicate that there's a regulatory framework that is approved in the department in terms of the policy as well as the management strategy that was approved in 2016. Our service is outsourced to private service provider in the name of Bukhewe, servicing four health districts, and EcoCycle Waste servicing Kharib district. We pay according to, or rather the price structure is according to collection, transportation, treatment, and disposal charge per kilogram. Monitoring the service provider through environmental health practitioners who are appointed as waste management control officers. The healthcare risk waste is currently part of the departmental strategic, it's in the risk register for the department, which is monitored on a quarterly basis. The next slide, the next two slides actually are just demonstrating as to what is it that we are doing. So I'm going to try and skip those in terms of action plans. But I thought I needed to talk to this once because this was a finding by the Office of Health Standards and Compliance. The procurement, under procurement and contract management, there was a finding that the service provider did not adhere to the conditions of contract or SLA. The progress is that we are monitoring the service provider through environmental health practitioners who are appointed as waste management control officers. Vacant waste management control officers at 18 health facilities affecting the close monitoring of contracts. We've also appointed environmental health practitioners to monitor that. The monitoring at clinics is done through the infection control nurses and local environmental health practitioners. And the next slide is talking to compliance, where the health care risk waste was not stored in a required container separate from the waste. The progress is that the contractors are improving the supply of containers as it is required. The interim storage site was not appropriate, did not meet the requirements. The department is in the process of procuring mobile healthcare risk waste storage area to address the shortage of this or the storage shortcomings. On infrastructure, Chair, infrastructure is done across all these four districts plus the metro. And of course, we derive our mandate from the IDMS, the table B5 as well as the IPMP. Yeah. So, but how we we then plan. Our planning is such that we do capital projects, we do upgrade and refurbishment of projects, and these are derived from this following perspectives. It's information derived from internal interval conducted site condition assessment, population growth, migration patterns within cities, between towns and districts, usage, patient visit patterns, growth or decline within facilities, facility life cycle planning, and external influences. So the latest facilities that we completed, or projects that we completed, is the Albert Nzula Hospital, since the one that we opened in 2017. And we also have Batu Clinic in Mangaung metropolitan area that we opened in 2017, which is operating 24 hours. We also have the Che Guevara Clinic in Sasolburg, which we started operating in November 2017. These are the following projects are projects that are currently in planning and under construction. It's a number of clinics that have been listed there. In as far as infrastructure planning, Chair, this slide seeks to show you in terms of milestones as to where we are, the number of projects, the budget and expenditure to date. The next slide is on infrastructure maintenance. We, with the execution of the facility maintenance process, recent improvements were made with the appointment of contractors that will do maintenance and refurbishment work in the respective five districts in the province. It's called a massification project, where districts will be serviced and the improvements are going to be made. These appointed contractors are based within the relevant districts they are responsible for. This will ensure that turnaround periods for maintenance and repair work, especially with emergencies, will be drastically reduced. Additional benefits will also include job creation with rural communities that result in health facilities as being looked after by their own people. This is just to demonstrate, Chair, that this is what we do. This was a condition assessment rating that was done in Windbeck, where we have different elements that we look at. And when this information is populated, we then come and sit down and look at the agency and how we can deal with the issues. So those are just the pictures of that facility, but it is being repaired. And of course, this is just to indicate that if we use this law of fines, which we are trying to implement now, of facility maintenance guidelines, we should be able to then catch our facilities at the stage where it's not going to cost us a lot of money to redo or to maintain. So this concept essentially says if you are able to maintain your facilities on a constant basis, then you will save a lot of money, given the fact that we also don't have enough budget on infrastructure. The maintenance service continued. Now, this talks to other maintenance, where I had already indicated that we've developed hubs to support facilities with minor maintenance issues. But budget allocations for repairs, equipment, and supplies is also available. Staffing of the artisans is underway. We've filled 74 posts so far, but 40% of them are frozen as a result of the problem that I talked to earlier on. Maintenance of call center established by the Department of Public Works. Chair would remember that Public Works is the implementer for capital projects in the department. So we only implement those projects that are at a certain level in terms of amounts. 10 million and above is implemented by Public Works. Now, we have said that we will use the same concept of the call centers because we believe that will assist us to get information quicker and be able to act promptly to fix these facilities. During the NCOP visit, these infrastructure issues around Dr. J.S. Moronka, Winnie Mandela Clinic, Malisa Timabaso Clinic, Harry Gwala, Itumelen Clinic, Pules Fasa, and National Hospital were raised, and we are happy to report that we have actually started working on those and there is progress in that regard. On TB management, Chair, the slide is telling us that there's been an increment in terms of success rate of TB management in the province. Also, the TB cure rate has also gone well, been fairly acceptable. The only challenge is the loss to follow up, and it's only around Mangaung. And this is as a result of the fact that there are patients that would come in and into Mangaung, and then they would come into our facilities, and then they will leave and go back to where they stay. So we lose this patient in that way. But we are working hard to try and make sure that we deal with the problem of TB. But we are doing well in terms of what I've alluded to earlier. The state of district health services and PHC strengthening, Chair, here I thought we needed to just demonstrate as to how far we've gone since 2014 in terms of the implementation of the NHI processes on the five streams of PHC reengineering, the ward-based outreach teams, the integrated school health services, and the district clinical specialist teams. If you look at the top row on the slide, the number of ward-based outreach teams that have been appointed thus far, we have about 121 teams to date. And in terms of the integrated school health coverage, we've managed to cover grade 1 learners. To date, we have done about 27,591. Grade 8 screened to date is 19,256. The number of districts with fully fledged district clinical specialist teams, this has been fluctuating, and we had a strong discussion yesterday and this morning about how we need to utilize the services of the university to actually assist us in terms of that, because we are a province and we have a memorandum of understanding with them. Contracting of GPs, Chair, we are sitting at around 28 to date. So this slide is talking to what I alluded to earlier in terms of the DCST teams by the end of May, where you'd realize that in terms of the completeness of teams, Mangaung Metro is still struggling. And the argument is that the university is in Mangaung, so why can't we talk to the university for the university to assist us in terms of acquiring the services of this specialist? So we are going to do that. The MEC is supportive of that. We will be meeting with the Vice Chancellor next week, and we will raise this matter together with the head of school. So we'll raise this matter with the MEC. If you go to the next slide, this talks to what I talked to earlier on in terms of the connectivity, and I'm going to request that I skip this slide. The shortcomings or challenges in as far as strengthening the district health system are as follows: inability to recruit and appoint fully fledged DCSTs, shortage of school health teams leading to low coverage, medical equipment and aging infrastructure affect compliance to service standards and ideal clinic status. But here we have remedial actions that we are working on. Where on the last one, which is medical equipment, the infrastructure B5 plan is linked to ideal clinic infrastructure needs, and budgets for PHC medical equipment is earmarked in 18-19. Progress on community healthcare workers, Chair. I will just quickly also run through it here. By indicating that as you look at the districts of Thabong Futhanya and Fezileta, Village Puso, Mangaung, Metro, Kharib, you would find that we have a total of 122 teams. The number of community healthcare workers that have been trained to date, we are sitting in Thabong Futhanya at around 398 trained community healthcare workers. So in total, across districts, we're sitting at 1,452. Phase 2 trained 70 or 211. Now, you realize that somewhere there we've written that trained, not competent. This is an issue for us because in as far as the modules that they have to do, they are not passing check. But we have developed an exit strategy because we can't throw these people to the street. These people have been there working, doing all sorts of this thing now suddenly because they can't pass. We are working on a strategy that will exit them. The number of OTLs, the total is 55 team leaders, Chair. And then the trainers, of course, if you add that, the setting of the trainers. The summary is that we have two master trainers for the whole province and an old nurse that is, are not on our personnel are contracted through NPOs and they are therefore paid by the NPOs on a monthly basis. I think somewhere here we also indicated as to how much we're paying these nurses, and we were saying there has to be a time where we're going to recruit and be able to pay a minimum wage to these people that are doing this work. I hope this is the last presentation. The operation depth to care, Chair, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I think the question was seeking to establish as to how far have we gone as a province in terms of Operation Sukumasai, as identified and as one of the initiatives that will actually assist to deal with the scourge of disease or the burden of disease. Now, in the province, what the Executive Council decided that there needs to be a team that goes to KZN, which we did, to go and do a benchmarking exercise. But this, when we came back, the report was discussed at EXCO, and it was agreed that this function should be in the office of the Premier to establish all rooms in every municipality so that we can then, health can then be integrated and we can then see how we collect data and deal with issues of the community. But as health, we had already started the process which we had termed Operation Back to Care. And this was mainly intended to actually fight the burden of diseases, which we call quintuple burden of disease, as opposed to the quadruple burden of disease, and I will explain why. We've included mental health as another burden of disease that was actually forgotten at some point. So we call it quintuple burden of disease in the Free State chain. It was founded on the ethos that a massive number of departmental health workers visit the households in designated wards to profile and assess the health conditions of family members. During this unique and systematic approach to empower communities to fight the challenges of HIV and AIDS, TB, including other health conditions, the aim is to reach every single person in a ward through a door-to-door campaign, individual counseling and community mobilization is done in that regard. So basically what we are saying here, Chair, is that we do have this process that is going on, but we will be incorporating this process into the whole concept of Operation Sukumasaki, which will then assist us to fight this. I must say, Chair, that there is overwhelming political commitment from the side of the MEC and other political leaders, and we also do have public debates on various issues related to legislation to reduce trans fatty acids, for instance, and salt in processed food, and ban on junk food advertisement to children, regulation of foods sold during school hours, and then issues relating to recent emergence of listeriosis and rabies. So this is a good program that is being carried out in the Free State. So I want to take this opportunity to thank you for the opportunity to present.
No, thank you, MC. I will indicate the presentation has got another flair. I hope they haven't picked up what I have picked up. I want to talk about that. I would be worried if they, in their questions they would have picked up the flair that I identified in the presentation. Okay, negative flair, but it's fine. Members, there is the presentation. Questions?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the Free State for your presentation. While it was quite comprehensive, There obviously are a few questions, and I'd like to deal with a couple of those. First of all, congratulations on an unqualified oil. Always very relieving to know somebody's doing something right. One of the things that's not indicated in your report is your situation with specialists across the province. How many do you have? What are they? Are they? How many orthopods do you have? How many do you need? I need a comparison of what you have against what you need, and how that is affecting you in terms of surgery backlogs and those kind of things, because this is a situation you found with all previous provinces. And particularly if you can give us an update on oncology, the equipment there, how many oncologists you've got and what the waiting period is from time of diagnosis to actual treatment. You have put that you have medical claims. Can you give us some indication? I may have missed it, if I have, forgive me, what your medical claims are currently standing at, what you've been claimed against at this moment, and what they are. In some areas, we've seen that a lot of the medical claims are cerebral palsy, which is quite disconcerting. So we're just trying to get a comparison of the kind of issues that are being that are leading to these medical claims. The OHSC report on the Free State was a bit damning. Okay. Now, we do understand that they only visited 17% of your facilities and obviously the worst-performing ones. However, even your worst-performing ones are performing very, very badly with critical action having to be taken and a lot of the things in the report saying that they were either essential or extreme, or vital, okay. And when you sit with that kind of situation, you're sitting with a crisis, because then it means certain things are not in place. And amongst those, I think, which was really serious, were failings in leadership and governance, and that's disconcerting. Because if you're failing at the top level, you're going to crash at the bottom, because then nobody's following it. I think your accruals are... makes us all, every department has it, you're not alone. The accruals that we're sitting with in health departments at the moment are very disconcerting, because it means you're starting the year on the back foot. That money that you've budgeted for this year, even with your accruals, sets you off very badly at the outset. And particularly, and thank you for highlighting this, because I think it's very, very important information, that only 24% of your budget is going on goods and services and 64% on the compensation of employees. You will not be able to deliver healthcare services with that statistics. No department can. It's not possible. And in a department that is as critical as health, that touches the lives of every single person in this country, regardless of where they are or who they are, when you can't deliver on goods and services in the health industry, we are going to come unstuck. And I've said this and I'll say it again before, we cannot possible on the NHI if we cannot deliver. And at this stage, we haven't found a province yet who is able to deliver even the basics in primary health care, and that is concerning. And one of the things that did make me very restless, again, obviously $4.4 billion in irregular expenditure makes our hair curl, and $89 million in unauthorized expenditure too. Are there plans, or is there consequent management? Because a lot of the people we're discussing, have talked to, they're talking about these astronomical figures, but no one's sort of giving us the feeling that there's consequent management. What is happening with the people who were involved in this? If it is interest on leases that haven't been renewed, whatever it is, there must still be a consequence. And finally, Chair, your pre-hospital medical services. Not healthy. Your pre-hospital emergency medical services, I'm going to your emergency thing, the statistics there are a little bit alarming. I don't know if we that's something I think you need to look at. TB, wonderful that you've got your 758 per 100,000 down to 466. It's high. It's still high. And lastly, your DCST, your district clinical specialist teams, very concerning. Those are vacancies that are critical. And specialists in every field. If you don't have specialists, you can't give appropriate care. And I'd need just to, if you can give us some feedback on how quickly that kind of situation will be addressed. Thank you.
Thank you very much and for the presentation. My exit point is based on OHSC findings. Yes, I am aware of the fact that a less percentage of representation from both clinics and the hospital was done, which would contribute to the reliability and validity of the findings, and not forgetting the limitation aspects, which obviously mean we cannot just say this information applies to the situation as it may be in the province of Free State. Yes, I'm also aware of the fact that only worst case scenarios was used in this instance. Not forgetting that the inspection has been applied, re-inspection was applied to some of these cases and the re-inspection, where some findings were, rather than experiencing some improvements, there was a report of a decline in the situation itself. And secondly, to point out, to say, I'll be referring to some of the findings, but for the first time, there is, in actual fact, correlation to some of the presentations done, which obviously say, even though it's the finding done on those worst scenario cases, but you have confirmed that such instances do occur throughout the province. Starting with the domain of domain three, the clinical support services, which talks to the pharmaceutical services, whereupon the average subdominion score, yes, it was above 50%, but there are a list of deficiencies that are noted. And to say at the same time, we compare it with the information derived from slide 53, that definitely confirms the information itself. Mention is made of the deficiencies that are noted. Number one amongst the list of those deficiencies, I just would like to mention the document outlining delivery schedule for medicine and medical supplies not available. And then my problem is, as long as there are no documents outlining delivery schedule for medicine and medical supplies not being available, how do you verify the success of the deliverance and monitoring the supply of medicine as it is? Like I said, reading it with the information on slide 53, slide 53, 1, 2, 3, 4, under challenges, it's mentioned that pharmaceutical availability across various pharmacies and the depot difficult to determine and manage from centrally. That's why I said, even though it's a finding based on that less representation of the case scenarios, but it's also overlaps to the information as it is presented to us, which obviously say when you do the improvement on the pharmaceutical services, please have this in mind to say we should go back to the basics and check there about the distribution of medication as it is. But I would like to just to have a short response on why this the difficulty in the depot, how would you be able to can change it to make it more user-friendly, because it's very important in the health sector within the province. Moving to the clinical efficiency management. Management has got also to do with the leadership in this sector, where upon average subdomain score was 4%, nothing above 10%. And then they have got a list of the deficiencies that are noted there, that I would request the department to take note of those deficiencies and make sure that as you move towards the improvement of clinical efficiency management, be able to can improve upon those deficiencies. But to ask to say, how do you respond on if you have the best clinical management or leadership positions there? Why is there evidence of monitoring categories of funder rejections or claims not available? And then the quality improvement programs to improve the accuracy of coding and address shortcomings and length of stay and level of care not available also. So what is it that you would do to make a turnaround of the events? Because the clinical efficiency management also apply to your success of maintenance or sustainability of the clinical aspect there. Adding to or go moving forward to a disaster preparedness, still the score below 20%, disaster management plan was not available. The disaster management plan, why was it not available? It can be available somewhere, but it has to be available throughout the provinces, clinics and hospital included as it is, not only concentrating on some hospitals and some clinics, forgetting about, because you'll never be able to can know where the situation can erupt. On communication and public relations, a mention is made on deficiency noted on staff satisfaction survey results, not addressing how the staff feels about active participation in the decision making and consideration of their views on issues related to quality. Why is it that the staff is not considered in matters pertaining to them? Who takes decisions on their behalf to avoid strikes, unnecessary strikes from the staff? My advice would be staff satisfaction survey results should be addressed. But here it's mentioned it's not addressed. Why is it not addressed? Like I said, yes, I agree that it's a very small sample representation of the province, but it says a lot to what the leadership and the management expertise that needs to be done as it is. And then a safe and secure environment, and also the information of the deficiency noted was also confirmed by the information, say for an example, slide 78, to say that there's a problem in security and safe and secure environment, which confirms the whole information, because in slide 78, security services, key challenges, confirms in actual fact the findings of the OHSC, since mention is made of the fact that most of the clinics are without security staff. So what is it? Because this is an urgent matter that needs the provincial attending to it. And the other point that says the total lack of security staff at most clinics. And right where we are to say security departments outsourced or insourced, and what is your take on this in connection so that you can address the information as it is. And to talk about hygiene and cleanliness, very important. Toilets and bathrooms are not clean, which is a deficiency noted. Do you have cleaners in hospitals and clinics? Are the cleaning services outsourced or insourced? Is there any monitoring mechanisms to ensure that the clinics and or hospitals are kept clean at all times? Cleanliness is next to godliness. The last one is in connection with the food services. The deficiency noted in connection with the procedure for procurement, storage, and preparation of food services not available. So can I just get an indication on, even though the average subdomain score is 58, but definitely we need an action on this thing. And it's also confirmed by slide 75. Slide 75. Slide 75, on the presentation, the very last point, as identified as key, one of the key challenges include poor implementation of linen management procedures in the laundries and health facilities. So it obviously means, yes, a less percentage of research was done on those cases, but you have confirmed some of the information that it's true, there are problems, but we need definitely to have some measures to keep on the occurrences of such instances. Thank you very much.
Chair, thank you. And thank you to the department. Thank you to the province for their presentation. It was quite extensive, comprehensive, if I may use that word. You know, we are in a better position in the sense that, I mean, as a committee, in the sense that we've heard about 6 provinces doing their presentation to us between yesterday and today. Going over. Okay. Mine is to say, in this report, Chair, I have done what the OHSC has done in as far as provinces are concerned, because the OHSC, their inspection was not for the whole province. It was a small percentage, but we do not need to say they are wrong. We have to accept that those are facts. That is a reality. If we see deficiencies, shortcomings, that is correct, because that is one of the entities the Department of Health relies on heavily. I just felt I should open with those remarks. Auditor General's performance, 2015-2016. We have it. We have heard about it. We have seen it. My question is, how about the latest? I'm asking this question because the latest is saying unqualified, but we don't have it. Am I right, Chair?
What is it that we don't have?
The audit report after
2016-17. No, we don't have it.
So that's my question. Again, security and infrastructure, still a challenge. That's what the report tells us. What is the challenge? If the committee could be provided with what exactly the department means about still a challenge, because this is how it's put on in the report. Medical availability at the depots as at the 31st of May 2018, we are not so bad. That's what the HOD said. Yes, when I was studying or looking at the analyzing the actual confirmation of what was presented here, it was really not so bad. But I would like to request or ask the department to give us an assurance or a plan, action plan sort of what they are going to do to maintain or improve further the not so bad. I'm saying this because contraceptives, We talk 56%, and as far as I'm concerned, we need to push that up. So hence I talk improvement or further improvement. I think the MEC and her team should say something in that regard. The overtime, Chair, from 300 million overtime has been reduced dramatically. Now, Chair, it's time for the departments or for the provinces to tell good stories. Because dramatically is not good for us. Because we are public representatives. We need to go out and tell the people that my province is doing bad. But a province A, like the Free State, is doing okay. Then I must give facts. And whoever would like to go and confirm that, afike kunjalo. So, what was the position before? It was 300 million, reduced dramatically. Vacant posts, posts, 1,700 post fields, 4,400 vacant posts. Which in these posts need to be filled out? Out of these, are there any critical posts that have not been filled yet? Critical posts like senior management, critical posts like health practitioners, for instance, because much as it looks pretty, if there is still a big shortfall in the areas I've just mentioned, then we have we're still going to sit with a serious problem. We're still going to have this problem that we are experiencing right now. Again, a good story. Irregular expenditure today. That's what the HOD was saying. It's looking good. But there's no comparison. To say good how? Yes, in the past, irregular expenditure is huge, and it's going to affect the good work that is happening today. But we need to know the extent at which it is going to affect it by actually providing us or the committee the detail. I know and I agree with the HOD when he talks about the past negatives, failures, shortcomings. Yes, that's going to affect the present. Insourcing, Chair. Insourcing of services. I must commend the province for what they are doing in as far as in respect of the insourcing of services. You are one of the few. I will say few if I'm talking six provinces. If not the only one, that has a report that tells us exactly their action plan in as far as insourcing is concerned. I think we should commend you on that one. You even telling us as a committee that by the end of X month, like end of July, what? Security, kitchen staff, insourcing would have been completed by those days. Good. Well done. Keep up the good work. Human resources, systems operating officials, training. This is what is reported to us, Chair. Before commencement of their duties. Huh? Meaning the potential for improvement is there, because the department or the province is doing something about what has not been happening before. The challenge you have, of course, Chair, the upfront, the Free State told us that they have seen the OHSC, they sat with the office, and they are working on that. We're looking forward to when you return, or when you come back, or a report that we are going to get, even if you don't come back, will show that you have indeed did something about it. EMS, Emergency Medical Services, This one makes one shudder, because this is life and death. This is the most important arm or element, or what shall I say, the most important section in the department, which is not really funded, in as far as, not funded enough. You know, when a request is submitted and you have a shortfall, I mean, reporting that there is a shortfall of 144 ambulances, and you approve only 15. What are we expecting? As the Department of Health, I know you've been knocking at the doors of the department. Treasury, and now you are here, knocking at our door. Now, thank you for the report. Much as right now, there's nothing we can do, but I'm sure after reading this report and analyzing it, studying it, Chair will have to do something. When I say Chair, I know she works with the collective to assist in this problem or in these challenges. I think I must add in there, Chair, and say thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Nkonzo. Honorable Maise.
Thank you, Chair. It's always nice when people take the words out of your mouth and you have nothing to say. And that's a killer melee. But you see, we always like to say you must be objective in whatever you say. The subjectivity will be added onto the objectivity. But if you start with subjectivity, then we just say, ish. Because it must be, everything must start with objectivity. Objectivity is there, it can't be altered, whether you like it or you don't like it is there. But this is, then you can add your subjectivity by saying, if he's got such a color, it would be nicer. If he's got such a thing, it would be nicer. Those are subjects, it's in your head, ideas in your head. That does not change the objective, right? Let me get myself onto the report. Out of 32 hospitals, only 4 hospitals performed around 80%. That's I assume it's objective. That's what you said, and that says a lot. We would have expected the figure to be out of 32, only 4. Are not performing well, but the rest are at 70%, even if they are not 80%. So that means we are not even talking about the quarter here. That means one has to work hard to turn the situation around. And of course, it's nice to admit and be objective. That's what we like. About being objective, then you can actually get to the answer or do something about it. Unlike if you just want to hide things and objective and wish they are like this. That's what we want, objectivity. Facilities far from Bloemfontein are not working very well. That means shows that you only ride around Bloom. That's where you all want shiny lights. You want to be there, all of you. As for Marquara Takwa, you are not interested in that. You just want Bloom is nice. You are all going to be there. These services are needed right in the bundus, the so-called bundus, because those people are trapped. They don't even have facilities to travel to get help in medical facilities. They depend solely, they are so dependent. There is not even a charlatan who is going to say he is do his quackery in the rural areas. But then, so you see, if you let those people down, you may as well not do your work, because it will be a shame. So please take note and concentrate on those people. Those are the people who really need your help, who are crying out loud for help. Why is there such a high rate of vacancies in the... Why there a moratorium? Well, some people declare moratorium. They like to do that, and then when the thing fall apart, they cannot raise it up. Humpty Dumpty or sitting on a wall and said a great fall. You can't raise him up again. So you better not allow him to sit on the wall and do this. So he won't fall if he's not sitting on a wall. So let's preempt things and not say we are managing, because then it becomes a lekker grab. You don't want to cure it. You enjoy it when you start scratching. It becomes a habit or a comfort zone. So let's not get into those type of things. Why is there a challenge with recruiting medical specialists? Again, things that could be done, and if you were giving us answers, also we have problems with recruiting medical specialists because of this and this, then we wouldn't be asking these questions.
and you would have silenced us, and you would have been doing me a culpa properly. But now you want us to dig things out of you. You tantalize us, and we have to dig them out of you. That's not fair. Okay. So, I mean, all these things, we shouldn't be asking you if you had put them down and say, yeah, we have problems with this. Maybe in the rural areas you have problems because the ambulances are not 4x4s and the roads are not conducive to that. So for you to get that, you need a baki or what do they call them? It's a baki, ne? Isuzu baki, then you can have a canopy on top and go and face to that. It can be done. But you are not saying so. You just said, well, we're not doing well there. So it's not fair. The department not compliance with legal and regulatory requirements. This one is not negotiable. If there are legalities and regulatory requirements that you must follow them. We don't have to discuss this one. Because then we would say you are being malicious. You are doing malicious things when you do wrong things. Because there are regulations and there are legal steps that you should be taking. So please correct those things. Well, I was going to talk about sourcing. You just said sourced systems for patient information, clinical info and billing, and you said it works well. But I don't know whether you mean it's outsourced or it's insourced. It just says sourcing. Then I was asking myself, if it is insourcing, fine, well and good, but it is contrary to what the Auditor General is saying. And if it's outsourced, and then that means somebody is, you are dependent on somebody on a vital thing like ICT and records and things like that, why don't they just go and sell the records because it will be available to them? So it is one of those things, Catch-22. It works, it doesn't work, but it's endangering things. Well, I think you know that your ICT does not work. I don't need to go into that one because you know it. So I wanted to ask that one, but I don't want to anymore. In spite of Treasury instructions for COE, to be reduced by at least 0.5% in 2016-2017, COE has been increasing from 63% to 66% in 2017-2018. I think somebody said it was 65. Maybe it was a slip of a tongue, but on your record is 66. I'm not thumb-tracking. So those are some of the things that could be avoided because they are doable. So why should it be increasing when you are told and instructed actually that this must reduce? But you say maybe they are crazy. You increase them, fine. Please comply, even if it's malicious compliance. But compliance is compliance. All right. So right. Explain slide 60. I just said explain the negativity. There's something negative about slide 60. And slide 63, facilities with private ambulances. Facilities with private ambulances. I think even if you don't have a lot of resources, the little resources that you have, you should not spend on exorbitant charges from private facilities, on private ambulances. We had a similar problem which led to the collapse of the system in some province. So try to avoid that and do the right thing. Top 10 strategies, risk. Why are these risks when they could be dealt with without higher cost? There are risks because you're not dealing with them. You like to note them as risks. I mean, all of them are doable. I looked at them, the 10 of them. they don't need capital, high capital investment to deal with them. So that means you are not prioritizing them. You might be prioritizing something else. But the risk is something that you must avert, because if you don't deal with it, it collapses the system, isn't it? That's why you call it a risk. So if you don't prioritize the priorities, you'll find yourself drowning eventually. Yeah, but I hope you'll use the Decatur's law of five and make it work, because it is a good law. And but you see, they say that a good knowledge from the books, if it's not applied practically, is practically useless. So we can have all the knowledge in the head, read all the books, but if we can't apply what we have read practically, we wasted our time. So let me end up here, because it's getting night. What we said is enough. If you can do half of what we said and conquer them and do them correctly, you will have made a leap to not just a transition, but you would have leaped to the other side of rectitude. Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Honourable Members. Just some few questions for myself. I'll start with slide 63. Health facilities with private ambulances, is it public health facilities utilizing private? Because I see here it's private, it's public hospitals, but it's saying health, because I want the question, MEC, why use private ambulances in public facilities? And is it possible to reflect, to quantify how much in your budget you are paying for those private hospitals? On slide 67, I know maybe you won't be able to reflect on that now, but please, in all the training that you have, all those that have been trained, can you please reflect to us the gender, race, class, and age in all those disciplines, rescue, firefighting, emergency? We'd like to get that detail. So that's why I'm saying gender, race, class, and age. You are the only province, I thought members would pick that up. You are the only province that has been able to reflect, or maybe the second, that in terms of the medical legal cases, there are fraudulent practices that are taking place in that. And as much as you have said you have not yet indicted with your executive, we are going to be curious, particularly, I'm going to be very curious to follow that, because other provinces where they fell short when we said categorize what constitutes this medical, whether it's a cerebral palsy, surgery, orthopedics, if it's orthopedics, because people have taken it to court because they developed a bad saw and whatever. And you are the only one that has said, in fact, there is this what we have picked up. So I think it's important that I reflect. And secondly, you are the only province that has reflected on school health and Mom Connect, which I think that deals with also, as much as we haven't explained it in terms of the benefits from Mom Connect, the shortcomings, where do you think that you I'm saying those are the things that I've picked up in your report. Same as in what is this place? Same as in the sorry for that. The last page where you slice that bread with school health, integrated the school health program coverage. The only weakness in that is that you are not saying in this district. It is more strong in this district. If you have gone further by also communicated with the Department of Basic Education, and if in fact because you are your matric results, you are always there on top. Is it among other things? Is it because of this program? Not only in matric results. Remember that they have just started, but the National Department of Health said we want to contribute in ensuring that the outcomes of the matric results are very good, and this is what, as the National Department of Health, has picked up in terms of dropouts, either in grade 9, grade 10, but make us understand so that we will benchmark and say, in principles, we're going to write a report. So that's why I'm saying it's fine that the only province that has been more it's reflected on that, but the only shortcoming is that we don't know where grade 1 learners screened on what, in which province. I'm sorry, in which district. I think other don't you think that in slide 119, don't you think that those as you still want to look into the how are you going to the ENs that are on stipend, don't you think that it will be important that you those that have got the capacity and ability to be trained further, look into them, take them for further training in nursing, going to diploma, those that have got enough instance. And those that are not passing, it will be important that you tell us the age, so that when we again, as the Department of Health is engaging in that program, is then able to say, let us not take this age group because it will be a problem in absorbing them if we want to, and the issue of them not then being able to pass. I think that's what I thought I must reflect on. Some of the areas have been reflected to by members. What we will do, that in areas where you think that you don't have an information, because we want a detailed information, where you think that MEC and HOT, you don't have that information for now, upfront tell us. We are going to tell you when we'll expect you to, because we need that. And the reason that we need that is because it is not going to be the end of it. As we'll be meeting with the department, as we'll be presenting our report, there are going to be recommendations, and we can't have recommendations on a general report. So the specifics in this time around are very important to us. But let me join the members. It is quite a very impressive, with the shortcomings that it is having here and there, but it is quite a very impressive report it is able to give us. Or where you are silent, you are silent on your relationship with organized labor. You're completely silent. And to me, it makes me scary. When the department becomes silent, it's an indication of a number of things. Either your managers are not empowered enough to deal with the labor issues at the workplace, or You're scared of them? Because you, as a sector, as managers, HOD, you have to be proactive. I'm raising this because I'm a former trade unionist. We used to be very angry when we've got weak managers. Because if you have got weak managers, you are going to be fighting all the time. Whereas if you have got managers that know their story, not that we are to manipulate them, but when we deal with issues, they are able to put their story. You can avoid it. We have passed laws, it's part of the constitutional democracy, but we must have those managers. So when a report is silent on the relationship with organized labor, personally, I become concerned and worried. So I think it's one of the areas that you must then put it in writing. Are the structures, how often do you meet with them at district level? Do you take your managers to empower them on labor relations? And what are the challenges in terms of the workforce that we're having? That is, so I thought, what we are going to do, we are going to just give you, we're going to have a comfort break. That gives you time to sort who is to respond on what. It's not a representation, but just Zoom to the and we come back. And then, yeah, so we'll give you just 10 minutes. And think tea break, that includes tea break, honorable members.